So our message today, the just shall live by faith. But what exactly is faith? I don't know if you've pondered this throughout your Christian walk, but I certainly have, and I'm glad God has given the clarity through these verses today to give us the insight to what faith is all about. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of faith that comes by the grace of God that's given to us as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in fact, it's that gift of faith that allows us to do that. And we know that it is a gift from you, that it's not by works, so no man can boast. And so we lift this up to you. And Father, may you just give us clarity as we see that faith is all focused on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And it's not about having faith in faith, but faith in the one whom we believe in, the one whom we have confidence in, who will finish the good work he's began in us, because he is faithful. Thank you, Father, for this. And Father, I pray that your word, this message, goes out in the power of the Spirit, in the power of your love, and is received in kind, and that we just are all drawn nearer to you through what we learned today. And we just look even closer at just your majesty and just the greatness of all that you are and just all that you've done in the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross as we prepare to take communion. But also what Jesus desires to continue to do, the salvation work that he continues to do in, to, and through each and every one of us. So thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have done and are doing in, to, and through us by the power of Jesus Christ and by abiding in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we introduced the just shall live by faith, and that faith is going to be tried and tested as we live in this fallen world. But we know that this produces the endurance required to finish the race strong as we run in Christ. And we know when our faith is tested, as we saw last week in the scriptures, it's an opportunity for great joy. When our faith is tested, it's an opportunity for great joy, as this is when our endurance, steadfastness, and patience all grow through this process, and he conforms us all along the way as we run this race, the race that we call the life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what our life is all about. Our life being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ as we have been begotten as children of the living God through him. We also looked at the seven attributes of faith that makes us more like Christ as our stamina for striving in the Spirit is built up, and we mature spiritually by abiding in Christ regardless of all the circumstances that we may be going through. So today, if the just shall live by faith, it's important that we understand what faith is, and equally important, what faith isn't. And we're going to do this before we start reading about the Hall of Faith, or as some people call it, the Hall of Fame of Faith, because as we look at these Old Testament elders, we will see that we have something they didn't have. So how much more? How much more confident should we be in our Lord and Savior who has been given to us as our high priest? It's important for us to see what the focus of faith is, and that's Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 10:35 through 11:3. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And so we had preached on this last week, so now we bring this up to tie into what we're going to be preaching on today. Verse 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So, what it meant at the time. Basically, what Paul is saying here, and I believe it was Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. So, assuming that, we see what Paul is saying here. You believe in Hebrews. Your faith, or the confidence that you have in Christ, is waning as you're looking at going back under the law and rejecting Christ. And I just encouraged you to recall the days when you were first enlightened by the gospel and how you endured as your faith was severely tested and how you had great joy through all of those hard times that you had endured as you'd been made a spectacle for everyone to see, but yet you endured as you trusted in Christ even though all your worldly possessions were taken away. How was this possible? Because your foundation was Jesus Christ, and you trusted in Him regardless of all the circumstances and trials that you were being put through. Now I'll remind you what faith is, so that you may understand and be bolstered and built up in faith, and not cast away your hope of salvation that was given by faith or having confidence in Jesus Christ. Don't throw away the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. What is faith but the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ and all that He said will be done? Not because we're faithful, but because He is. Amen? That's what faith is. It's not about faith in and of itself. It's about the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, and trusting in Him, having confidence in Him. Not in anything that we can do, but what He will do in, to, and through us, as what He has already done for us at the cross. The finished work of Christ at the cross. So it's timeless meaning. What's it mean to us? Faith is having Jesus Christ as the substance of all things hoped for, which are those things in the future. Things that we hope for are the things we're looking for in the future, as He provides the evidence and proof of the things not seen today. You have faith for today, and you have hope for tomorrow, because we rest in Jesus Christ, and He is faithful, and we trust in Him. That's basically what all these verses are about. He's the substance, and He's the proof. He's the foundation of all that we are today and hope to be tomorrow. And we read His Word, and we experience what He has said are true by believing Him. And this then gives us the confidence that all things hoped for will actually happen. And it gives us the assurance about the things we can't see. That's how the New Living Translation puts it. Let me repeat that again. As this gives us the confidence that all the things hoped for will actually happen. And it gives us the assurance about the things we can't see. That's what faith is. It's the confidence we have in Christ. And the assurance of our salvation, that He's going to finish the good work He started in us, because He's faithful. Then we also understand that the things unseen are real, and that He has said in His Word, and everything that He said in His Word is true. In fact, it was His Word that framed the universe, as God spoke everything into being, or everything into existence. Thus, the things that are seen are not made of things that are visible. They were made out of nothing. God spoke the universe out of nothing into being. This kind of faith is what the elders were displaying. Not because they understood everything, but because they trusted God and took Him at His word. And we're going to see, even though they didn't have the Holy Spirit, or the things that we know, they trusted and believed in Him, and their faith was accounted to them as righteousness. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us, accounted to us already because we believe in Jesus Christ, and it's imparted to us, taught to us by the Holy Spirit, so we can practice being like Christ as we grow spiritually in Him through all that we learn. By faith. And it's all done by the Spirit of grace as He enables and empowers us to do. Hallelujah. So, subject of chapter 11 is faith. But may we never forget the object of our faith is God and believing in His Son unto salvation. Romans 1:16 through 17 ties into this very nicely. Parallel verses says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's what it means to have Christ's righteousness imparted to us. Not just imputed, covering us, but imparted to us. Us learning how to be like Christ. And we do this from experiencing our faith growing from circumstance to circumstance as we exercise the faith He's given us. And by the grace of God, He gets us through it all and builds us up in that confidence that we need to draw even closer to Him through Jesus Christ. What an awesome God we have. And then it goes on to say, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what it means to live by faith. To trust in the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, and draw ever closer to God through Him. So, that's our overview. Now let's go ahead and look at this verse by verse. Verses 1 and 2. Faith is the foundation of our hope and the proof of things not seen. Now it says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance in Greek is hypostasis, and it means foundation. So it also means foundation. Not only does it mean substance, but it means foundation. So in other words, verse 1 could be said that faith is the foundation of the things hoped for. As Jesus Christ is the object of our faith, and He is the essence of all that we desire and aspire to do. As He is the captain of our salvation and our high priest. Or in other words, He is the author of our faith as the captain of our salvation, and He is the finisher of our faith as our high priest, as He continues to minister to us every day through His Holy Spirit as His advocate that lives in us. So He is the author and finisher of our faith, who gives it to us, who tests that faith, and who builds us up in faith so God can be revealed to us more and more from faith to faith, from experience to experience. God is revealed to us more and more, and the truth of the Word is revealed to us more and more as we exercise faith from one experience to another. And that should bring us great joy as we see how faithful God is. Not how faithful we are, but how faithful He is. And you know what? It's not a sin to be afraid. What did Jesus tell Paul? Don't be afraid. My grace is sufficient. Don't be afraid. So we have to be reminded, don't be afraid. But know where to turn to take that fear away. The love of Christ, abiding in Him. Abiding in that gift of faith that He's given us. Knowing that whatever we need to get through whatever we're going through will be provided unto us. Unto salvation. Unto the end. Until He takes us home to be with Him. What a glorious God we have. What a precious Savior and High Priest and Lord that we have. Always thinking of us and not of Himself. It's always about us. And what our focus then should be always on Him. Amen. That's how our relationship with Christ works. He's always thinking about us. So what are we to do? Always think about Him. Because it's about Him. And what He's doing into and through us. As He's done it all already as far as salvation is concerned at the cross and His finished work. We're built up from faith to faith so that our faith digs in. Our faith shows mercy. Our faith will have joy. Our faith will have knowledge. It'll have confidence. It'll have obedience. Jesus says, if you love Me, you'll obey Me. Not go ahead and keep doing what you want to. But obey Me. Do the will of God. And our faith will have endurance. These are the seven attributes of Christ-like faith. And as we're conformed to His image, we'll see that our faith starts looking more and more like His faith. We won't have doubt. Well, we'll have less doubt. We may always have some doubt. We won't be drifting. We won't have hardness of heart that, you know, the rest of Hebrews up to this point had talked about. We won't be despising the Word. We'll be loving the Word and being in the Word and growing close to God through the Word as we surrender to the Word, Jesus Christ. And He ministers to us. And we respond in the love of God by exercising the faith to move forward and being doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's what this life is about. Being prepared for eternity. Our eternal souls being prepared for eternity to spend with Jesus Christ. Last week, Paul spoke of endurance. And we saw that in Greek, endurance or hupomino means to stay under. Stay under Christ. To literally abide in Christ. So when you hear or read the word endure, it means to endure in Christ. When it talks about endurance, so that you have endurance. There's a need for endurance is what we had just read in the previous verses. There's a need for endurance. There's a need to stay under Jesus Christ. Because where is our salvation found? Only in Him. That's where our eternal security is. That's where our hope is. That's where our life is. In Jesus Christ. And we walk in Him. We run the race in Him. Not in and of ourselves. And that's what faith is all about. Having the confidence to stay right where we belong, in Him. Don't let the world sway us. Don't have it draw us away from Him and into the world to become dull or drift or have our hearts hardened, but to stay right where we belong. So, we see how this is accomplished. So last week we talked about endurance. Now we were to stay under Christ. Now we see how that's accomplished. Now, by making Jesus the object of our faith and abiding in Him confidently. And we do this every day of our life, as He is the foundation and substance of all our tomorrows. We have faith for today, but He's the substance and foundation of all of our tomorrows. All the things we hope for in heaven, all the things we hope for our family, while we're here on earth. All the things we hope that we are able to do by fulfilling the calling He has given us is done because we trust in Jesus Christ. He'll see us through all that and complete that work He's began in us. And this is done because the righteousness of God is revealed to us from faith to faith. That's what gives us the confidence. It's not a blind faith. It's not like, okay, I trust in God and I do this and then nothing happens. No, there's a difference between surrender and submission. Surrender is how you surrender and you're doing it willingly. Submission is you do it whether you want to or not. And guess what? God is faithful either way. You submit to God and He proves He is faithful. Well, I really don't want to do this, Lord, but I'm going forward because Your Word told me today. And, you know, I'm just going to trust You. And you go forward and all of a sudden it's like, everybody you come across, this verse is coming to your mind. You're able to share with people, or it gets you out of a situation, or it embellishes a situation you're in, or it just gives you perfect clarity or wisdom or whatever you need for that day. And it's like, man, when you're done, it's like, wow, Lord, I'm going to surrender next time. You know, I'm going to surrender. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to push back. I'm not going to just do it because You told me to. I'm going to do it because that's what I desire to do. Amen. That's from faith to faith. That God's righteousness is revealed to us. And even when we submit, we're still doing it because we love Him. Not because we think we have to, or that we're going to earn salvation. No, we do it because we're already saved. We already have the grace of God. And it's like, okay, I'm not sure about this, so I'm going to go forward in faith. And we're blessed by it. Because we heard a word from God to do it. Notice it states, now faith is. This is the same word as moreover in Greek. And it ties this verse in with the previous verses, 10:35-39, which we read as part of our review and tie-in. So this ties all these things together. The problem is when people read verse 11:1 on its own and think the subject is faith and there's nothing else to go with it. And that's when people start getting in trouble and they start thinking about faith and having faith in faith. So tying these together gives us the clarity. that we need. And it ties us back to those who believe, to the saving of the soul, which are those who are exercising saving faith in Christ and are those who do not draw back to perdition or to destruction, but instead endure in Him to the end. Now, faith. Moreover, this faith that I'm telling you about, this is what it's going to do. This is what it's about. Christ. And we endure to the end all because we have not cast our confidence or faith in Christ away. And thus, we continue to do God's will and receive the promises of the new covenant given to us by God, and we receive then the rewards that we get for furthering the kingdom of God. That's what we talked about last week. We talked about rewards. Well, those rewards are given to us as we further the kingdom of God, doing the will of God. Now, again, just to emphasize this more, without tying verse 11:1 into the previous verses, we have two-thirds of an equation, and it's missing the main factor, or the most important part. It's missing the object of our faith, and again, it appears to be talking about having faith in faith, which it is not. We looked at two closely related Greek words, and how that also ties these sets of verses together as well. We looked at endure, which is hupomino in Christ, by faith for today, as He is the foundation or hupostasis of all we hope for as we trust in His faithfulness to fulfill all of God's new covenant promises as He has given us the word to do, the word to follow. So in other words, we endure in Christ by faith for today so that all that He has promised will be fulfilled because Jesus is the foundation of not only all we hope for, but of foundation itself. We've talked about what faith is, confidence in Christ. So, hope that clarifies that. It's not about faith in faith. In fact, let me give you a little more information. What faith is not. Now, we see without God in the equation, there's an unhealthy fixation on man and on faith, as it doesn't bring the focus back to where it's supposed to be. It puts the focus instead on man and faith, and they become the object of faith. Meaning, it's all about their faith, not about God. It's all about their faith and the fact that they believe in something. And all that matters is how sincerely that they believe it. That's where so many people go astray. And you know, even Christians will say about other religions that, you know, that we look at, and they say, but they believe it so sincerely. Well, that doesn't matter. You can be sincerely wrong. Because what are they believing in? But faith in faith. Not in the faith giver, not in the captain of salvation, not in the one who has promised us eternal life and whom is the redeemer of our soul. They believe in just having faith in what some man has taught them, trusting in some man's doctrine instead of having a relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis and growing and maturing in Him through all the things that come our way. This is the type of faith that is the root of many religions and even sects. Sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, sects, within Christianity itself. As we see that this is the basis for the name it and claim it faith purveyors. As man is the object of his faith or their faith, and God then must answer their command. Just have enough faith and God will do it. You have faith and you can command God to do whatever you want because it's about faith. No, it's not. It's about Jesus Christ as the object of our faith. And this is a demonstration of faith in faith itself, and it is used to manipulate God, or try to. This is worse than hogwash. It's literally blasphemous, as it puts man in charge of God. Isn't that how man always gets it backward? Religion always tries to reach up to God, but what has God done but reach down to us with Jesus Christ? Personal relationship with Him. Reconciled to God. He paid for all of our sins. He justified us. We have right standing with God because of Him and His righteousness and the blood that was shed. Cleanses us from not only sin but guilt. As we have been declared not guilty in Christ. As the law itself was nailed to the cross. The thing that accused us has been nailed to the cross. That's what it says in Romans. We also see faith and faith entering into Christianese and how we speak to one another. As we hear around churches, normally I don't hear it here much because I don't think we talk about faith that much. Maybe we should. But when we go to conferences, I go to conferences and things like that, I'll hear people talking or I'll be talking to someone and they'll be going through a trouble and I'll hear, my faith will carry me through. Wrong. Your faith ain't going to carry you anywhere. God will carry you through as you trust in Him. Don't lose focus. Keep our focus on what? The author and finisher of our faith. Faith is merely a result of believing in Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with Him and the gift from God so we can believe and then it grows. So that we can then fulfill the hope of the calling He's given us. And some will say, well, that's a moot point. You know what I meant. Well, my point is, God must always be the focus. God must always be the point, not faith. Because faith isn't ever self-conscious. Faith is always God-conscious. Whenever you start looking at faith without Christ or without God, it's self-conscious. When in reality, when we focus on Christ, it's God-conscious, and He gives us the faith to get through whatever we need to press through. And it's all about trusting Him to do it. Also, faith is not a positive attitude. Faith isn't optimism. It isn't hoping for the best. It ain't a sanctified imagination. Oh, I think God's going to do this and God's going to do that. That's a sanctified imagination. These are all self-generated. Instead, faith is a gift from God and is exercised in response to God. It's not self-generated. It's God-generated and given to us, and we use it to respond to God because we have a responsibility. We respond to the love of God and the ability He gives us, and He gives us faith in order to be able to do that, and then all the gifts and enablement, the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to do that. So, faith is about Christ, about God. And for us today, it's about Jesus Christ being the mediator of the new covenant between us and God as our high priest. Faith is also the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is the same word used for proof in Greek. This essentially is saying that we don't have blind faith. In fact, we walk by faith and not by sight. As we once were blind, but now we see. That's what the Word tells us. As the spiritual eyes of our heart are now opened to see what is truly going on around us. Now we have the spiritual eyes of our heart open so we can see what's going on and we can understand then, well, how come when I stepped up to start serving the church, all these things started happening? Well, it's because the enemy's coming against you and you're going to have to endure through this because when you endure through this, this is going to build you up in faith, in patience, and in steadfastness, and to mature you as He would desire. Just as we know as we go through trials and tribulations, we're to glory in them. Because when we glory in them, it builds up our character, character perseverance, and perseverance the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So all these things are necessary to exercise us spiritually so we'll grow in Christ, grow in the Spirit. The only other thing I can think of that would be comparable to that, that's something we can see, is building up our muscles, right? Building up our muscles as we lift weights or whatever, we can see how those muscles will grow as we exercise them. Now, I know I'm a poor example of that, but Joe, could you stand up? And anyway, you get the idea. Otherwise, it might atrophy, right? Well, sometimes we have spiritual atrophy. We need to be strong in faith, and this is how the process works. We're strengthened through all these things we go through. And the bottom line is, faith is the eye of our soul. As it is by faith, we receive the illumination of the Word by the Holy Spirit, and we act upon the Word through faith as we're led, enabled, and empowered by the Spirit of grace, and we see that the Word is good, it is true, it is just. And it brings us all that God said that it would. Proving, then, that the things unseen are real, and that the forces marshaled for us are far greater than those forces marshaled against us. Reminds me of Elijah with his servant, and then we're surrounded by the enemy. Elijah prayed, says, Father, open up his eyes so he can see that there's more with us than are against us. And he opened up his eyes, and there was this circle of chariots of fire all around him. And guess where that happened at? Dothan, Alabama. No, Dothan, Israel. We should always remember that. If there's any place that should have faith, it should be this town of Dothan. Not because of faith for faith itself, but because we believe in Jesus Christ and he's the center of our life. And that's why I believe they have that circle, right? Ross Clark Circle is a reminder of those chariots of fire, that there's more with us than there are against us. So next time you get upset about driving around a circle, just think about it. It's just a reminder of how there's more with us than are against us. And that's the confidence we get in Christ. We also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as it says in Romans 10:17. Therefore, faith is given as we receive the gospel by grace, and it is a gift from God, not by works, so no man may boast, as it says in Ephesians 2:8. And we receive the gospel by grace, but that's just the start of the process, as every man is given a measure of faith to use. That's what Romans 12:3 says. Every man is given a measure of faith to use. So therefore, it becomes our responsibility, response to the love of God and the ability he gives it, to use it. And when do we use it? When we hear the voice of God speak to us, either through his word or through that small, still voice of our good shepherd. And we may not know how it's going to end, but we can be sure of how it started. Just like when God led me to plant the church here, when I bought my house 3 years before we moved out here, I bought a house here because I knew we were going to retire out here because this is where my oldest daughter was. We bought a house, and I asked Tallahassee if there would be Calvary Chapel Tallahassee, if there'd be anybody to plant a church out here. I let them live in my house for 3 years, rent-free. 6 weeks later, I wrote back and said, oh, no takers. So I prayed about it, and guess what the Lord told me? Put it in my heart. Send me. Send me, because I heard the voice of God say, hey, this is what you're going to do. And so I faithfully went. Now, it certainly hasn't turned out the way I thought it would. I thought we'd have at least 1,000 people in here by now. You hang the dove and they will come, right? So there's obviously, I need more faith. And so the Lord's building me up in endurance and in faith. But thank you guys for being here, because I couldn't do it without you. So praise God. So always remember, you may not know how it's going to end, but be faithful, because you know how it started. It was the Word of God that told you to go. It's the Word of God that encourages you each and every day to stay and continue. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other people want to do. It's what God is telling you to do. To do it all by the Spirit. Don't start something in the Spirit and try to finish it in the flesh. If God wants the work to end, He'll tell you. And then you close up shop and you wait for him to tell you what's next. But we don't use man's programs and things to try to finish God's work. There's no mistaking God's voice. There's no mistaking what he says to you. He's faithful to confirm it. And if you don't hear him, keep doing what you're doing until you do hear from him. This is what's known as waiting on the Lord and for the Lord. Waiting on the Lord to lead you and for the Lord to open up the door so you can walk through. Because God's word is certain. So stay right where you're at until he tells you. Otherwise, keep doing what you're doing as unto the Lord. Growing and preparing however he's led you to do. Until those doors are open. For by it, verse 2, faith in God, that's by it, faith in God, for by faith in God the elders obtained a good testimony. Who are these elders? These are the Old Testament faithful that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. And Paul will use the good testimony of these people to bolster the faith of these wavering Christians back then and bolster our faith as wavering Christians today. But what does it take to have a good testimony or a good reputation? as far as God is concerned. Now, the word essentially says if you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. What's your character? But literally being conformed to the image of Christ through the fruit of the Spirit. Your character is becoming more like Christ. He'll take care of your reputation. He'll take care of your testimony. As you surrender all to the Lord. And His faith has grown in you. But guess what? We also read last week, or talked about last week, how endurance is that environment where fruit blossoms. I've often heard people say, well, you don't have to, a tree doesn't have to strive to produce fruit. Well, you know what? A tree, believe it or not, as I've heard and read in other places, that a tree literally needs the wind to make its roots strong. It needs to struggle to make it grow upright, and it needs branches straightened out, and it needs to go through bugs and pesticides and all that stuff to be strong to produce fruit. And that's what endurance does. So literally a picture of a tree is enduring. You get strong because you're struggling. You're getting down and the roots are going strong and deeper. As the water isn't coming, you go deeper into the love of Christ and sink those roots deeper in Christ. Not knowing what's going to happen, but knowing that Christ is going to take care of it all. And you stand upright in the armor, the full armor of God, and stand against the wiles of the devil, and this strengthens you. And this is the environment where fruit is grown and it flourishes. And it produces abundant fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Also, I read where you can take a tree and bring it into the house, put it in a pot, and it'll wither and die because it doesn't have that environment to flourish in. It's all comfortable. There's no bugs. It's got perfect temperature. It even got sunlight. You water it every day. But it just doesn't have that environment that it needs to sink down into. To grow strong, to produce fruit. What does it take to have a good reputation with God? Take Him at His word. And that's what we're going to see demonstrated all throughout the rest of chapter 11. But Paul closes chapter 11 this way. And all these people in this hall of fame of faith, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That's Hebrews 10:39-40. That something better is Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, and our High Priest. God has provided something better for us. So don't wow at the faith that they had. Look at the opportunity that we have for faith, because we have Jesus Christ's Spirit living in us. And the gift of faith and the spiritual gift of faith to grow even greater in Christ. Greater from the standpoint that He is magnified and we are minimized. Trusting in Him. So don't be wowed when you read about their faith. They did it because their faith was accounted to them as righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ given to us. And we have His Holy Spirit teaching us about His righteousness and learning how to practice it. And growing in that, being strengthened through all that. It's again, those muscles. You know, the first day you start lifting weights, oh, your arms are sore. Well, about the next month, if your back hasn't given out, it doesn't hurt so much anymore. You get up, in fact, you're feeling better. Well, same thing with spiritual things. Sometimes spiritual things is like, man, I'm kind of sore after doing all that. Well, look what come against me. Well, keep striving in the Spirit in Christ. Striving means surrender to the Spirit and live in Christ. He's the object of our faith, and our testimony is predicated upon our relationship with Him and being conformed. That's what faith is all about. Him being the object of our faith and being conformed to His image. By faith we understand, because it is the eye of our soul. By faith, in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, we understand that the worlds, says worlds, that being the entire universe, was framed. Which means it was formed, fashioned, put in order, equipped for its intended purposes. How? By the Word of God. And it certainly doesn't take blind faith, as not only can we see the majesty of the Creator through all of creation with our naked eye, faith, the eye of our soul, sees the truth of an intelligent designer and how He formed the entire universe to support human life here on this tiny planet that we call Earth. It's amazing that as scientists go out and look with the Hubble telescope and all that stuff, how we are in the Goldilocks zone. They call it the Goldilocks zone because it's just perfect for human life. Well, everything's set up so that there would be life here on earth. The Word is telling us that's what the whole universe was created for. For us to see the majesty of God and to believe unto Him. And so in these end times, God has given us the tools to see through science what was once invisible to man, and to do so as man's heart has become exceedingly hardened, which is literally the great falling away appearing and happening before our very eyes as people's hearts are being hardened, as God is no longer taught at home. God is no longer taught in the schools. God, and we trust, is no longer something we believe in the United States as far as the country is concerned, but it's just something that's on our money. And they're trying to get rid of that as well. Not the money, but the statement. Why would He do that? Why would He give us these tools today? With these men and women having such hardened hearts, as everything's relative. Oh, that may be true for you, but not true for me. Because He wants none to perish. And remember, He says we're to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. So we are to use logic and reason to prepare people to hear the gospel. Just as in the apologetics course that I'm teaching at the Bible College, we use logic and reason to prepare a non-believer to hear the truth of the gospel by showing them that science itself proves beyond any reasonable doubt that there is a God, and that there is a theistic God, a personal God who loves you and wants you to come to Him and to live forever with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But before you can get to that part, you got to prove, or at least get them accepting or willing to hear the truth. And you do that by showing them what science tells us. Despite what you see on TV, and the History Channel makes me so mad, between ancient aliens and the big history and all this other stuff. I just seen on Big History last week about, oh, we all come out of one cell and that created all of us. Like, oh, give me a break. We're nothing but slime, right? It's from the goo to the zoo to you. No, that makes no sense. I am not biologically related to the slime. I'm sorry. I have been made in the image of Jesus Christ, as that's what the Word says. So we do this through the cosmological argument. The universe had a beginning, so everybody believes in the Big Bang. Well, if you believe in the Big Bang, then there must be a Big Banger. Not being irrelevant, but I mean, like, hey, out of nothing, there was nothing. Now, boom! Okay. We're halfway there. We also believe in teleological argument. The universe has an intelligent design. Look at it. Look how things work here. It has an intelligent design. That means it has an intelligent designer. And then we show them all the things that shows intelligent design. Well, not all of them, but it's only a 16-week course, so some of the things. And then the anthropic principles. There's 122 environmental constants that are all interrelated and interdependent in order to support life here on earth. 122. Not a Goldilocks zone because you just happen to be this far away from the sun and happen to have the moon here. But 122 things that determine the makeup of our atmosphere, the transmissivity of the atmosphere, the gravity, lightning itself, which produces nitrogen in our soil. It had to be a certain amount in order to produce the nitrogen so plants could grow and all that. Just 122 of these things. All interrelated. That the atheist or the Darwinist, as we call them, say happened by chance. Well, Hugh Ross has calculated, he's an astrophysicist, that happening by chance, 122 of these things happening by chance, is 1 in 10 to the 138th. Now, I didn't know what that meant, so I kind of looked into it a little bit more. It says, basically, to put this number in proper perspective, they calculate that there are only 10 to the 70th atoms in the entire universe. So literally, the chance of all this happening is 1 in more than all the atoms in the universe. 1 in all the atoms of the universe, 40-fold. So I would say it's impossible that it happened by chance. So then they have to come up with something else. The Darwinists. Well, there is intelligent design, but there's no intelligent designer. Anyway, it wears me out sometimes. But pressing on, how did all this happen? It happened when God commanded, let there be light. Genesis 1:3. And as the psalmist explains, if the atheist would just read and understand, of course we know they have to have the Spirit first, the Word of God, because it says, by the Word of the Lord, Lord all caps is Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jehovah God, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So as Psalm 33:6 and 33:9 says, God commanded it and it was done. In biblical times, without faith, all they could believe is what they could see. And now we know that when we believe it by faith, we will see it. Some people say, well, I see it, I'll believe it. We say, when I believe it, I'll see it. And that's what happens when you walk by faith and not by sight. And science is proving this true each and every day, as all the things that were created came from nothing, as only the Word of God, Jesus Christ, could do. And by faith, we understand this. Note, it doesn't say by faith it was created, but by faith we understand that it was created by God, that it was made out of things that are not visible. Atoms. Colossians 1:16 through 17 says, well, first, before I get there, we know that all things were created from nothing and that it was essentially held together by the power of Jesus Christ Himself. Because as it says in Colossians 1:16 through 17, it says, by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Science has even recognized this as they're starting to look at the molecular structure of atoms. They can't make any sense of how these things are supposed to repel, attract, so they call it the God particle. I mean, they're like 99% there. Yes, yes, now take it to that 1%. There is a God. Faith gives us the substance of all things hoped for. Faith is having confidence in Jesus Christ and to be more like Him. And we walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in Him to get us through whatever we're going through. And we hope that we will become like Him more and more every day. So He is the faith for today and the hope of all we're going to be in the future. And the best part of it all is God already sees us perfected in Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. We thank You for this gift of faith. But most of all, we thank You for the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, who loved us and died on the cross for us and fulfilled salvation's plan, as we have been made in His image, and He dwelt among us in the image of the human, that He would come to the earth and die as. And not only did He die as a human, but as the God-man, He lives there in heaven right now at the right hand of Your throne, Father, as the mediator of the new covenant and our high priest. Thank You so much. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.